Matthew chapter 6, we're going to talk about the prayer of hope today, and you call this the Lord's Prayer, but I just wanted you to know that it's going to be called the Prayer of Hope in your on your newspaper, in your media, in the next little while. The guy who wrote the, Rick Warren is his name, the pastor of Saddleback Valley Community Church in Mission Viejo, California, who wrote The Purpose-Driven Life. He has a brand new book that's coming out in like 3 or 4 months. Obviously, I haven't read it, but the title of his book is all about, it's called The Prayer of Hope, I believe, is what the title is, and it's all about the Lord's Prayer, and so that's what we're going to be looking at today. So that's one of the reasons why I put the word hope in there, is that's going to be something that's going to be in the media, in the marketplace, and so as you get an opportunity to talk to your friends, at work, family members, that kind of stuff, that's what they're going to be thinking about is hope. And I would imagine that all the emphasis in his sermon is going to be about that. So let's read this together. Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 5. And you remember in verse 1 of chapter 6, Jesus said there are three good things to do, three acts of righteousness. Do you remember what they are? Number one, Linda's sermon 2 weeks ago. How many of you were here 2 weeks ago? How many remember Linda, Korean-Canadian, about this tall? She was just up here. She was preaching. So it's giving to the poor, isn't it? That's number one. Number two is today, prayer. Number three, next week, fasting. Those three things, Jesus said, you're supposed to do those three things, but you're not supposed to do them for the sake of other people watching. You're supposed to do them for God and for other people. So that's the emphasis. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand or pray standing in the synagogues and on street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Remember Linda talked about God has rewards for these disciplines. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. That's always good, isn't it? Just go, God, I don't really know what it is, but please. And God goes, okay, I got it. I know. Verse 9, this then is how you should pray. So let's say this prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, you can stop right there. Some translations, like the King James translation, will have another verse in there that isn't in most other scriptures. And that verse seems to have been added way, 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 way after the scriptures were put together. It was someone thought there needed to be a nice little conclusion. And so they added an extra verse. And so most Bibles don't have that. But verse 14, it picks up. For if we forgive men when they sin against you, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So a few simple rules for talking to God. A few simple rules that Jesus has here in prayer. First of all, your prayers are not to be showing off to other people. If your prayers are all about how well you pray, you miss the point. Would you agree with that? It's not about saying the right words. It's not about people watching you and going, oh, my goodness, look how eloquent they are. Look how wonderful and how many adjectives they have in their words. We have a gentleman in our church named Mike Valutti. I don't know if Mike's here, but he usually sits over in this section. Mike, are you here today? Is Sue here today? Mike is Mike sells jewelry on home shopping networks all over the world. And so if I'm desperate for watching something on television, there's not good sports, one of the Toronto teams are losing, and I'll just flip around. Mike has more adjectives than anyone I know. And if you watch him selling jewelry, it's like he can go on for 10 minutes about this ring or this necklace, and he never repeats himself. It's just like, how does he do that? Well, he's very eloquent. Well, slide over from Mike now. We're not talking about Mike. But when your prayers are all about people looking at you, that's not a good thing. Next thing that Jesus talked about is when we're having a conversation, it's supposed to be private. It's supposed to be just us and God, correct? Now, there are definitely times when we pray in public. There's times when we gather together and we pray. Linda and Sam led us in a couple of those kind of things today. And so those are sort of like, Jesus isn't saying don't pray in public, but his intent is that when you pray, you're really talking to God. If your prayer is to talk to another person around you, they're not going to be able to help you. Would you agree on that? So when we're praying for someone who needs healing, and you're actually praying to make the people around you hear what you're praying, they can't help you heal the sick. It's God that does the breakthroughs, isn't it? It's God that does those kind of things. And so our prayers are really intended just for God. And the last little prayer here is don't keep repeating yourself. That doesn't add extra oomph to your prayer when you keep saying it over and over and over again. And it would appear that the prayers of Jesus, as we look in the scriptures, were very short, very concise. In fact, when Jesus is ministering healing prayers, the longest healing prayer that Jesus had was 5 words. Did you know that? 5 words is Jesus' longest recorded prayer. And that's in Aramaic. So I don't know if Aramaic's like French, where there's 3 English words for every 4 English words when you translate. You know how that works? Some translations just it's longer to say the words. 5 simple little words is Jesus' longest prayer. So God understands that Peter, who's sinking while he's trying to walk on the water, and he just says, help. God's going, okay, I got that one. I understand that. And it's not that you have to keep going and going and going. And there is this persistence that's talked about in the scripture. And so we're allowed to pray for things a second time. We're allowed to pray for things a third and a fourth time. We're allowed to do that kind of stuff. But there's also the place where the Bible says to in Philippians that when we pray, we leave it with God now. And we give God some time to act on these kind of things. We give God the benefit of the doubt that he actually heard us. Does your God hear you? Do you ever wonder if he actually hears you? Sometimes it's like, God, like, did you really hear me? And it's like, yeah, he did. He heard us. And so the simple little teachings that Jesus has here are very, very good. I think I just talked about this one. Get to the point. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This Lord's Prayer that comes up, this sample prayer, is very interesting. Matthew does not write his gospel chronologically. And so if you go to Luke's gospel, where this prayer is also recorded, you'll find that this prayer is in the middle of Luke, not at the beginning of Luke. And it would appear that after Jesus has spent a year ministering and gathered hundreds, if not thousands, of disciples, and then he has that famous time where he says, the fields are white, who'd like to be one of my helpers? And he chooses 12 people. Remember that story? It's in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 10, he names 12 of these people to be his apostles, to be his sent ones. And he puts them in twos and sends them out. When they come back, they say, oh, we didn't know anything. When it came to praying for the sick, like, we really didn't know how to do that. When it came for this, we really didn't know how to do that. It was amazing that it happened. But, Lord, would you teach us to pray? Happens after that. So this prayer is after the 12 have gone out, even though in Matthew's gospel it records it earlier. So this is like year 2 in the ministry of Jesus, where the disciples realize Jesus has a relationship with God that I don't have. Would you teach us how to pray? And it's on the heels of the disciples coming back, having their first opportunity to represent Father God, and realizing, oh my goodness, our Father is with us and listens and heals the sick and casts out demons and all those kind of stuff. But Father, we need to have a relationship with you. And so this short little prayer that Jesus teaches us to pray, and millions of followers of Jesus say this prayer every day, all around the world, most popular prayer in the world. It's a prayer of hope. In this prayer, the tense and the mood of this, it's, you know, if any of you took Greek or if you took French lessons, how many took French in school? It's pretty well all of us, isn't it? Do you remember aorist tense? Go like this. No, I don't remember it. Aorist, do you remember imperative tense, which means like get it done now? Imperative is like right away. Aorist tense is this like command tense. And the whole prayer is like, your will be done. Give us today our daily bread. That's the whole mood of this prayer is a command prayer. It's a Jesus talking to his Father and saying, like, now, right now, do it. That's the whole mood and the intensity of this prayer. And the English language just doesn't show that kind of stuff in its prayers. So when we talk about God as our Father, there's some just amazing little things here. We get to call God Father. The Muslims have been mentioned today. They have 99 names for God. They know there's an unknown name. They don't know what it is. It happens to be the word Father. Duncan Smith met a Muslim a while back and was talking to this gentleman, African Muslim, and was telling him they were somehow got into a conversation about the different names of God. And the guy says, well, there's one name that we don't know. And Duncan said, oh, even the camels know the name of your God, of the unknown, the best name, the highest name of God. Really? And he goes, well, what's a camel say? And he goes, Abba. It's the word Abba. The camels even know it. I think that's how camels sound, yes? Anyone got a better sound? I think that's how it goes. But they roughly are saying Abba, Father. And to have God as a Father, like what better way is there to begin a prayer by talking to your Father? I'm an easy one when it comes to my two boys. My eldest boy is 24, my youngest is 21. They know that if they need something, you come to dad. Mom's going to be a little bit, why? Do you really need it? Those kind of things. But dad's the easy knockoff. How many of you are parents and are easy marks for your kids? You're the easy one? Now, if both of you put your hands up, you're probably really in trouble. And that's how God sees us. He's an easy mark for us. He's our daddy. Next one. Oh, that was a close-up, wasn't it? Hallowed be your name. The name of our Father is just amazing. The name of our God allows us to have so many privileges. And when we stand in the name of God and say, Daddy, you're with us. We exalt your name today. We had time to lift up the name of the Father today, name of Jesus, didn't we? There's just so many good things that happen when we begin to do that. Your kingdom come. And the emphasis is your kingdom come is the emphasis. What God wants gets done. And when the next little phrase, when we add it, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, it's like nothing happens in heaven that God doesn't want to happen. Everything that God wants happens unchallenged, uncontested, no arguments. The will of God is always done. And so Jesus is teaching us, here's what you do. If you understand that, you can look at what the promises of God are for heaven. For example, healing. Is there anyone sick in heaven? No. So when Jesus says, when you pray your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a healing prayer, isn't it? Do you think people have financial problems in heaven?
No.
Do you think people have relational problems in heaven?
No.
So this is a all-encompassing prayer to say, Father, I know it's not happening right now, but I know that it's supposed to be happening because this is the will of my Father. The will of my Father is that I am not sick, that I don't struggle financially, that I don't have relationship challenges and all that kind of stuff. That's the will of my Heavenly Father. And so, Father, would you bring that on, bring that about in my life? We're allowed to pray those kind of prayers. Give us today our daily bread. The emphasis is on give us today our daily bread. And this is just a humble prayer, isn't it? It's an acknowledgement that we need God. You've probably heard me say this before, but Carol Arnott was arguing with God. Maybe not arguing, that's too strong. She was talking to God one day and a little bit complaining about why is there so many issues that she needs to work through on a daily basis, and how come when I gave my life to Jesus, I can't be perfect and everything just could become perfect? So she's asking God that, and God said to her, do you want to know why everything isn't perfect right away? And she goes, yes, I would. Well, would you need me tomorrow? That was the answer the Father gave her. Would you need me tomorrow? And this little prayer is all about acknowledging I need God today, but when I wake up tomorrow morning, I'm going to need him again. And it's just this constant declaration, Father, we need you. Forgive us our debts. This is not talking about finances. This is talking about your relationships. This is talking about all the areas where you are bankrupt. So I should say it's not just talking about finances. It's talking about all the areas in your life where you're bankrupt. And some of us emotionally get drained, don't we? Some of us, like my wife, got peopled out yesterday, and she's got a little bit of a cold, so she's home today. And she just had to have a day to do, you know, be by herself, because she got emotioned out. We had a pastor's retreat yesterday, and it wasn't that it was a hard retreat or anything like that. I thought it was great and fun and upbeat and all that kind of stuff. However, Sandra just gets drained by people very, very easily. When she stands at the door and shakes hands with people after Sunday morning, she goes straight to the car, and she goes, "Don't talk to me." So I blame you folks for all of that. I don't blame you for that. But all the different areas where we're bankrupt, we're saying, "God, I need help in these areas. Would you just see me through?" And then it gets into help us to forgive those people that owe us in any area of life. This could be finances, relationships. This is all about forgiveness, isn't it, this side? This is about learning to sow into another person's life in the same way that you're going to be reaping. The biggest principle, start to finish, in the Bible is sowing and reaping. I don't know if you've learned that, but it is just a massive principle that's talked about over and over and over and over and over. My mother used to constantly say this. Do you remember the golden rule? Do unto others as you like them to do to you. I heard that ad nauseum when I was growing up. The reason I heard it was because I wasn't living it. You understand that? I don't think my mom's here today, so I can probably talk about this. My mother doesn't have internet either, so that's always good. The problem is that you tell her. Some of you tell my mom afterwards. I think I grew up, like many of you, just being very, very selfish. And life was all about me when I was a kid. And it was all about me when I was in high school. And it's all about me when I'm in college. And it's all about me up until I get married. And once I get married, I'm still living, it's all about me. And now we're starting to have a little bit of challenges, Sandra and I. Not that we, you know, we're going to break up or any of those kind of things. But for those of you that have been married, you'll understand that your first couple years are working out who's going to be the most selfish and who's going to give in. That's the negative way to say it. The positive way to say it is who's going to love the other person unconditionally. And that's what we're called to, isn't it? Is to learn to live unconditionally for other people. And the rewards, remember Jesus at the beginning of the prayer says there's rewards for praying right. And the rewards are that as we begin to live for others and think about others, that God's able to make up all those kind of things. So I'd like you to figure out, let's say Sam and Linda, they owe me $1,000. Now they don't, but let's say they owe me $1,000. And I forgive them and say, "God, could you make that up?" Is God able to make up the $1,000? Is God the kind of person who has a reward for people who give forgiveness? The answer is yes. And so it's possible that the Lord gives me more than $1,000 back in some other way, saves me from speeding tickets. By the way, did you see the police officer in the parking lot? So all of you who were coming off of the 409 and not stopping at the stop sign, just warn you, they know that we have meetings Sunday mornings and Friday nights. And the police cars, they're either in our parking lot or in the Seventh-day Adventist church next door. So when I was outside just a moment ago, they were busy. They weren't busy. They were just sitting in their car drinking coffee. So that's a good thing. That meant that everyone was keeping the laws and all that kind of stuff. But God's able to make up all of those things. And is he able to make up an emotional thing where someone owes you, they've hurt you? Is God able to make up those kind of things if you forgive them? The answer is yes, isn't it? There's just amazing hope that comes when we begin to let go of things, let go of people, and God's able to come and be with us. Next slide. Lead us not into temptation. Left alone, you're going to be overwhelmed by the enemy. Every single person in this room has thoughts that come into your mind that bombard you on cutting corners, cheating, doing all sorts of different things. Every single person in this room. It is not a sin to be tempted, is it? It's a sin to give in to the temptations. And so the truth is that there's this onslaught that comes against you and me all the time. And if you have a child that is a little bit of a nagger, you know what it's like. Mommy, please, 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 mommy, 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 please, 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 please. Eventually, you give in just to shut him up. Is that not true? What Satan's looking to do is just bombard, 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 bombard you, hoping that sooner or later you're going to give in and you're going to listen to him and do what he says just to shut him up. And that's why he just keeps going at you. And the prayer of Jesus is, Father, would you come and would you just strengthen me and strengthen me and strengthen me? Remind me of the scriptures that say, don't do these sort of things. Don't give in to temptation. All those kind of things. Left to ourselves, we're going to begin to sin and we're going to slide very, very quickly. And this is a prayer of protection over us. Deliver us from the evil one. And left by myself, again, we're going to be overwhelmed. And the Holy Spirit helps us to be an overcomer, doesn't he? The Holy Spirit's able to just strengthen us. The Holy Spirit's able to miraculously just stand in the gap and separate stuff that you don't need from what you do need. The Holy Spirit's able to pour into our lives in just a wonderful, wonderful way. And that gives us lots of hope. I'd like you to stand up with me. We're going to pray a couple prayers this morning. The first one is on forgiving. And I'd like you just to close your eyes and say, Holy Spirit, who are you reminding me of today that owes me? Could be financial, could be relational, could be any sort of different area. But who owes you today? Who would you like to pay back in a negative way? Who would you like to hit this morning? Who would you like to get even with this morning? Just close your eyes. Let the Holy Spirit remind you of that person. And you have a choice this morning, again, based on that little prayer, that you can forgive that person and have God's rewards, or you can hold on to it. And the verses that follow say, if we don't forgive, God doesn't forgive us. That's really not a good consequence, is it? If we don't forgive, God doesn't forgive. So I'd like you just to go through a little process of reminding God and saying, God, this is what they did. This is what they said. Maybe it's a case of this is what they didn't do or what they didn't say. And just talk to the Lord this morning and say, Father, I'm forgiving this person. Can you say that? Father, I'm forgiving this person. Here's what they did. And just tell God, just you and him, what did they do? What did they say? The Bible says we're to forgive from our heart. That means you're to emotionally get involved. And the way you tell if you've forgiven the person or not is when you think about them, when you see them, what do you feel? If you feel any kind of angst, any kind of worry, you got to go a little bit deeper still. If when you see them, it's neutral, you're Switzerland as you look at them. It's like, I don't feel any emotion here either way. That's a good thing. That means the Holy Spirit has been working in your heart. Father, as we've been thinking about someone and forgiving them, Father, we're asking that your mercy would come right now, and would you wash us clean? Father, we're asking that the blood of Jesus would cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And friends, I don't know if you remember, but one of the most amazing verses in the Bible is 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. It says, if we confess our sins, which is what we've just done, he's faithful, meaning he's always going to be there. He's just, meaning he's going to do the right thing every time. If we confess our sins, he's faithful, he's just. He forgives us our sins, and then the reward. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And Father, we just speak that cleansing now for every area in our life that is not right. That's one of the rewards, folks, of forgiving, is that your Father now comes along and he deals with that issue, and then he picks on some other areas as well. And he begins to turn things around. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness, all things that aren't right that come against us. Our Father just says, okay, we're stopping that. We're turning that situation around today. So Father, would you begin to do that for each one of us? Father, help us to have a review time that your Holy Spirit prompts us at just different times of the day. Maybe it's when we're having coffee. Maybe it's when we first wake up. Maybe it's when we go to bed. Maybe it's when we're in our car or on the subway going to work. Father, may there be a review time every day where we just bow down for like 2 to 3 minutes and say, Father, help me go through this prayer again. Who do I need to forgive? Holy Spirit, would you watch over us as we do this, please? In Jesus' name we pray. Now the second slide is, what do you need today from the Lord? Have you got something that you need today from the Lord? Some bread that you need? Yes? I'd like you to turn to one person that's on either side of you, in front of you, or behind you, and just share one thing that you need and have them pray for you, and then you share your thing and have them pray for you. You got 3 minutes. Go. Just find someone random there. If you need to get in a group of three, go ahead and do that. But if you get to 5 and 6, you got too many people. What do you need? And just have your friend pray on your behalf. What do you need your Father in heaven to do for you? Is it a financial thing? Is it a health thing? Is it a relationship thing? Spirit of God, come. Come, Holy Spirit. Just pray quickly for the other person right now. For those of you that are watching on the internet this morning, glad that you're with us. And if no one's with you, let me just pray for you right now. Father, for each person that's joining us today on the internet, Father, we're asking that you would be our great provider. Father, this prayer is all about hope, that we have a Father in heaven that's able to watch over us and care for us and meet every need that we have. And Father, we're allowed to pray. In fact, we're allowed to demand. We're allowed to aggressively say, Father, today, give me my daily bread. Today, give me my portion. Today, give me what I need to have to live, to be able to give me the physical help, to be able to get through this day, the emotional help to get through this day, the finances to get through this day, this week, all those kind of things. And Father, we're asking for a blessing for each person that's watching on the internet today, Father, each person that's in this room as well, Father. Would you be the one who acts on our behalf in Jesus' name? In Jesus' name. You got one more minute. It got quiet. Does that mean you're all done? Okay. Last prayer. Look at the screen. Do you need someone to cover you today? To watch over you? Do you need someone that's a bully for you? How many of you were bullied in school at different times? How many of you were the bully? I was. I was bullied and a bully. I sowed and I reaped. I never did figure that one out until a little bit too late. Do you know that you have a Father in heaven that can be your bully and watch over you? Not bully you, but can be the one that protects you from the bullies. That's what I'm meaning to say. You have a Father in heaven that's able to cover you in every area of your life, that's able to protect you. In fact, knows better what you need than you do. Because your Father has an advantage that you don't have, and that's perspective. Because your Father is eternal, he's already lived tomorrow. He's already lived next week. He's already lived next year. And he's already been all the way into the future, whichever way the future is. He's already been there. And the Bible says that he's beginning to work all things for your good. Now, we don't always see the all things today, do we? But the truth is that one of the amazing benefits of God being eternal, is that he knows tomorrow. He knows next week. And he's able to cover us. So why don't you just close your eyes right now. Put your hand on the shoulder of someone beside you, but you don't need to pray. Just let the Holy Spirit be the one who prays for them. Father, would you be our daddy? We thank you that you're a Father that's in heaven. Your perspective is just perfect. You know everything. You are a benevolent, loving Father. You are extravagant in all that you have. You have every resource at your disposal. And Father, we're saying that we're just putting our lives back into your hands again today. Father, we're saying, help us not to be independent. Help us not to be lone rangers and just run off here and run off here and just sort of leave your covering and leave your fathering. And Heavenly Father, we just say we love the fact that you're our daddy. We love being a child of God. We love taking the name of your son Jesus and being a Christian. We love identifying ourselves and saying, I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm a child of God. And Father, we place ourselves back as close as we can to you. Father, we're asking that you'd come and would you hide us under your wings, as it were. That illustration of God loving and caring us like a mother hen cares for the little babies when they're first born, those little chicks. And he just gathers, the mother gathers them and hides them. And so, Father, we're asking for that. May we be hidden from temptation. May we be hidden from tormenting thoughts. May we be hidden from sickness. May we be hidden from emotional baggage that comes our way. May we be hidden from sexual sins. May we be hidden from financial sins. May we be hidden from all the different junk that comes at us. And may we be safe and nice and tight and cozy with you. Now I want you to picture yourself that there's 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, use your imagination that you're one of these little chickens, 3 days old, and you're just pushing in as close as you can to your daddy and trying to get as close in. You're bumping other ones out of the way and saying, let me in, and I'm getting in there. I want you to see you just, you know, this melee of all these children, and you just trying to get as close as you can. And Father, that's what we're looking for. We want to be as close to you as we can. Father, we thank you that you've encouraged us that the ways to do that is, one of the ways to do that is to pray, is to talk to you simply, not try to impress others, just to get to the point. And Father, may our conversation with you this week be rich. May our communication with you this week be personal. May it be real. Father, help us not to be sort of, you know, just all spiritual and no earthly good in terms of our praying. Help us to be real when it comes to how we pray and what we pray about. Father, when we're praying, would you put thoughts in our heart that aren't just for ourselves, but we begin to think for others and we begin to be drawn. Father, even as Marion has been leading us and encouraging us as we think about the nation of Iran today, and Father, next time we hear about their president on the news, instead of a condemning thought, may our thought be, Father, would this man give his life to you? Father, help us to have those kind of things that our thought life becomes our prayer life. And we just begin to be switched around. And we just all of a sudden find ourselves, we're like Jesus. We're living like Jesus did. So, Father, we bless you for being our Father today. In Jesus' name. Now, just while you're standing, if you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus, you can start right now. Did you know that? Right now.